Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 616, MCC Back in Dev, recorded live on February 14th, 2018. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
We are back from hiatus, since I was gone for a week for work. And we don't have another update. So, we're catching up on a couple things as well. Nothing too bad. Since we are recording it on the day of, happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. Hope you had a great time with your significant other, if you have one, and if not, hope you had a good day of hopefully love and happiness poured onto you as well. We are diving into the MCC development update that we said we were going to come back around to. But first, update from UGT since I was out last week. How did we do with the game night and everything?
We shot people a lot.
Oh, that's usually what happens.
We had a pretty good crew. We mixed up some big team, Super Fiesta, Warzone. Yeah, pretty average night. Had a lot of fun. Got shot from the other side of a wall multiple times. You know, just typical Halo stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had some good games, and then we had some really bad games. So
that's kind of how it goes, right? Still fun.
Well, when you got friends to play with, it does make it a lot less painful to lose.
Right. Laird said in the chat that he helped kill 45 Marines with Confel.
Well, that's cool.
That's one of the difficult ones to get. It's not our lowest one, or maybe it is now. I don't know. Well, probably not after Laird and Confel did some work. I'll have to go back and check the stats on that, but that is definitely one of the more annoying commendations to get, which we're still working on. Abalistics actually requested to join our company. I don't know if you remember him from a couple weeks ago.
I do remember him.
So, yeah, we got another company member to help us out. We're still grinding.
Looks like G Lewis is getting tired of our background.
I mean, the other ones that I have are very Halo Wars 2 specific. I know this is from Halo Wars 2, but I can't pull out any of the other cool ones out of the official game files, or at least I don't know how to.
Get a whole game cheat. I'm sure he probably already hasn't pulled out.
Probably. Get the Halo 3 one. I don't know where they get the Halo 3 one. I'm not sure how to get that off of the Xbox to get it. Ask Masters or Game Cheat. Okay. Fine. I'll ask one of them. You happy? A couple of other things I think we want to touch on before we dive into the MCC update, since that kind of will be our main topic tonight, is they actually have a listing on IMDb for the Halo TV show, even though there's not really anything there to give us info about it, but there is a listing on IMDb now for it.
Well, that's good, I think.
I honestly don't know
if that means anything. I guess that means they're still moving forward? Maybe?
I guess. I honestly don't know what it means. The only things that we can glean from it really are the writers are Stuart Beattie, B-E-A-T-T-I-E, Beattie, and Alex Garland. I'm not sure who either one of them are. Alex Garland is known for, Ex Machina, 28 Days Later. Okay, so he has a few good ones under his belt. And then Stuart Beattie has Collateral, I, Frankenstein, plenty of other video games and screenplays. Oh, did some stuff for Pirates of the Caribbean as well. Interesting. So they're the writers for this movie, I guess. There are filming locations in the USA and New Zealand.
That doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me either. The only other thing which is probably not accurate is they have a plot synopsis, which is basically the same synopsis as Halo 1. It's basically the lead up to Halo 1. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a copy paste for whatever synopsis or ad they had for the original Halo Combat Evolved.
Possible.
There's not much there. But
well, hopefully something. That means we're going to get some more news soon.
Hopefully. I mean, we've been writing on just yearly updates saying it's still the thing for the past 3 years.
At this point, they better put it on something other than whatever Showtime.
I have no idea how contracts may have changed since they originally signed that contract. No clue. We'll see. Anyways, it has an IMDb page now. There's not much on it, but at least it has one. There you go. The next things are some updates for Halo World Championship Series. The Orlando Open starts this weekend. So a couple of days ago, they posted the prize breakdown, the schedule, game type rotation for the bracket play and the group play. You can find those over on Halo Waypoint. I'm guessing they probably put it over on the Halo.gg esports page as well. Not sure, but you have all the game type and map matchups listed. Prize pool is $20,000 for the first place team, $10,000 for the second, $6,000 for the third, total of $50,000 for the 4v4, and then total of $5,000 for the FFA, $2,000 for the first, on down to $200 for the sixth. They do have the pro points breakdown, since that's something that MLG does in their bracket. This is actually per player. First gets 25,000 points, second gets 15,000, all the way down to 45th through 60th get 1,000 points. And those are just pro points used to kind of rank the players individually within the esports player base for Halo on the MLG website. So yeah, you can check that out over on the website for all the details. I'm going to be trying to watch this weekend because it's going to be the first LAN event. This does have all regions coming. The few teams that are not North American are Team Infused from EU, Qualifier from Latin America, Mind Freak from Australia and New Zealand, and Vex Gaming from the EU. And then there are four open bracket spots. And those are teams that register for the event and make it through the group play. Because there's 12 teams that are seeded directly into the bracket play. Seeded into the group play. And then there's another set of group plays that fill in those other four slots. There's some info about some of the teams that have changed some rosters or just kind of an update on things leading up from the last season. Optic Gaming is in the prime spot because they have pretty much been undefeated for the last few championships for, they won the fall. I think they won fall. Can't remember if they won both summer and fall. G-Lewis might be able to help me out there. A couple other teams have had some roster updates. Splice, kind of being on the heels of Optic, is also looking to play pretty hardly, especially on the online open tournaments. Those happen every week. And we have some other news updates in there as well. So if you want a little more detail on everything that's kind of leading up to Orlando, make sure you check out both of those articles over on Halo Waypoint. And the only other thing I have is I believe the Forge Hub contest is done for the racetrack maps, or it's coming to a close pretty soon. I'm trying to pull it up now. So it actually ends in 5 days. On Monday, February 19th is the last submission for the aesthetic Grand Prix racetrack map. And then it'll be judged. I think judging takes approximately a week to 2 weeks. And then the first place winner is going to get $250, second place $150, and third place $100. And they'll probably have some honorable mentions as well.
Well, you can bet there'll be some good stuff come out of it.
Oh, yeah. There's actually a pretty good active forging community, even though it's kind of in the shadows and it doesn't get too much spotlight in the community spotlight. That's one thing I didn't even notice until I just said that, but they usually don't highlight as many forge maps and game modes, unless it really kind of just is really different from the norm. So I'm wondering if they're going to take some of the results from this 4chub contest and post it in the community spotlight. I'd hope that they would.
Yeah. I really wish 343 would bring in some Forge maps to matchmaking, you know, competitive maps, because they built some decent maps, but they get boring after a while. I mean, I know they do in, you know, they bring the Forge maps into the more specialized game or, you know, playlists, especially like in Super Fiesta, there's only like five maps that show up. And Pegasus is one of them.
Unfortunately. Didn't we talk about this on one of the podcasts recently about how they had custom maps, Forge maps in Halo 3 and Halo Reach for competitive?
For actual competitive.
Right.
The actual esports scene they did, yeah. But I'd like to see some more, you know, granted high quality maps, but some more Forge maps than just the regular rotation in the 4v4 and 5v5. Or like Super Fiesta and then just regular Slayer, which I don't play that often. You know, at least, you know, maybe in the, not the competitive, but in the casual playlist. Something, because, you know, those maps, they get boring after a while.
They kind of do. And one of the nice things about the Forge maps is they keep it fresh. If they would actually work on having people, and this is one of the things I'm hoping MLG can actually kind of bring back, because it was something that they spearheaded and I think was very helpful. But they actively engaged with the pro teams to make maps and test maps. So I'm hoping with MLG back in the mix, there's a little more of that urge to say, hey, let the community make some of the maps, because I mean, even with Forge, with how intricate and how much you can do with it, there are some people that can probably come up with some great maps that don't necessarily work for the studio.
Well, I mean, some of the best competitive maps in Halo's history were made by the community, not by Bungie or 343.
Some of them, yeah. Onslaught was a fan favorite, and that was all done in Foundry. Granted, the new movements in Halo 5 make it a little more interesting when creating maps, because you have a lot more to account for.
Well, I think the Forge community's up for it. I mean,
I think so.
The Forge stuff that's already out there it's good stuff. Their maps are fun to play. It takes you a little bit to learn them, but hey, you know, they're fun to play. They seem pretty well balanced.
And that's the thing, though. You want to make it to where it is something where you would have to learn the maps. That's kind of what sets the amateurs apart from the pros. The pros actually take time to learn the maps, learn the tricks, learn to exploit certain features of the map that you wouldn't necessarily otherwise get if you were just kind of an average Joe that was playing just an hour a day or so.
The pros have the time to do that as well.
That's true.
That's their job.
Uh-huh. that's how they make their living.
You know, as a casual player, you know, in time I do learn the maps, but I don't study them. You know, honestly, I very rarely pay attention to when stuff's picked up, and, you know, watching the clock countdown, I'm just looking for people to kill.
It takes a lot to kind of get used to, and I'm no expert at it. I know there are certain things that I think of, but when I play with certain other people that are a lot more into the competitive mindset, they just are head over heels of thinking, okay, where's this person spawning, and when are these weapons coming up, and all that stuff. And I slowly get better at it, but it's one of those things that you just have to keep working at it in order to ingrain it into your thought process.
Just like with everything, repetition, you know, will build your memory on it. So
that's what sets the pros apart from everyone else. They've practiced, they've had the time to practice, and they picked it up a little bit more naturally than the rest of us.
It definitely takes a special mindset to be a competitive video game player, and it doesn't matter which video game you're talking about.
Well, and even even casually playing it, though, there's still kind of a mindset there, but playing stuff on a competitive level, there's, you have to take that so much further.
Like I said, it takes a really special mindset to be a competitive player. I mean, you don't have to have just a good shot. You have to have a certain mindset to be able to take that good shot and capitalize on it. On to the MCC development update.
Yes. Our main article for the evening. So this was posted at the end of last month, January 31st, so 15 days ago. And it's going a little bit into what they're doing with MCC. We did mention back in either the beginning of January or the end of December. I think it was the beginning of January when Sketch put out a tweet about them slowly posting content about what they're doing with MCC. It wouldn't be a constant rollout of news, but they are going down the path of a little bit of news more frequently, even if it's something small, is better for a transparency perspective to keep us engaged, to let us know what they're doing, than to wait for something big and then clump it all together. So this is probably the first of a few that we'll get before we see any major news about MCC. There is a few things in here, though, that is important to note, which I think is going to help put some people at ease if they haven't read this yet. I do recommend going and reading it, but we'll give you the Cliff Notes version here tonight and as we discuss it. One of the big things is with the Xbox One X platform, they're looking to enhance a lot of the visuals. There's a lot of APIs that have been developed that also takes advantage of increased resolution even on the stock Xbox One X, or sorry, stock Xbox One and the Xbox One Slims. So there's going to be benefits from that. There's benefits in the matchmaking stuff, network parties, everything like that. So let's go ahead and just dive on into it. So they have a brand new, I don't know if they're all brand new, but they have a team that's specifically dedicated to working on MCC. There's no crossover from MCC team members working on Halo 6 or Halo 6 team members working on MCC. This is strictly a group that is focusing on nothing but MCC. And technically legacy titles, but primarily MCC at this point. They're probably the same team that still keeps up to date with the Halo 3 and Halo Reach playlists, anything that's rotational in there, like challenges, probably stuff with Halo 4 as well. So any of that kind of stuff this team works on, but their primary goal right now is MCC and getting that updated to take advantage of a lot of the APIs that have been developed since the Xbox One first launched.
I'm glad that they put that in there, because that, you know, to show people that we're not taking away from our next big thing, as they put it, to come back and fix MCC. They actually set aside a team, said it's your job to fix this. And from the sounds of it, this sounds like they've got plenty of people to spread around.
And some of those people are from other third-party partners that they've probably worked with in the past. I don't know if they're working directly with Certain Affinity, but I would assume it is other game companies like them who probably know the code base that can help with this kind of stuff. I would assume Certain Affinity, because they've worked on Halo 2 and Halo 3, and they did a little bit with Reach. I think they did a little bit with Halo 4 as well. But everything that is being done by the MCC team is being supplemented by other partners of Microsoft Studios to help make sure that the MCC gets the updates that it needs. They're getting familiar with the tools, the code bases, and trying to get a foundation for a realistic timeline and goals to update MCC. So that's the first big thing, is having the extra support to support the team that is only working on MCC. Key piece number one. Key piece number two is something that probably everyone's heard of already. If not, then hopefully people will be excited about this. But they are planning on rolling out community builds similar to how people get the Xbox Insider builds. For those that are familiar with the Xbox Insider program, you already know that there's kind of the one rollout that's right before final launch, and then there's the alpha rollout. It's going to be working in a very similar process, and it may be even through the Xbox Insiders program. So I would recommend, if you have a second console, maybe if you game often, but if you have a second console and you want to do the Insider program, then definitely look at enrolling in it so you can get the builds early. If you game frequently or you're more the competitive player and you don't want to run the risk of instability on your console, then maybe it's not something for you. For me, I've been on the alpha ring on the Xbox Insiders program, and I haven't had any issues since early 2017 with the Insider builds.
Yeah, I've had, I'm not part of the alpha ring, but I've had some issues to the point that when I got my new Xbox, I did not move it into the Insider program. I left my other one in it because I was having some stability problems with parties and things like that. There were certain things that were kind of an annoyance. Nothing really game breaking. It made putting together a party a little bit more difficult sometimes. But
the parties is the ones I hear most often when it comes to compatibility issues between Insider builds and official builds. But for me, I just use the Xbox app on my PC since it's sitting right there. So I almost never use parties on the console.
Yeah, it's just the way I do things. I do rely on that party system on the console for ease of invite. Now, me personally, I connect to the party through my Xbox app, but I have a second account that I log in and put in the party. That way, whenever somebody messaged me, I can just add them to the game and the party all at once, and I don't have to go two separate places.
Got it.
Just saves a little bit of time.
Uh-huh. That actually reminds me of something that I forgot to mention earlier, but Major Nelson announced this on Twitter, but you can now join parties and voice chat and text chat with Android and iOS. Don't know about Windows
Phone. But no Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Gonna have to send them a stern letter about supporting their own platform.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. But smartphones, minus Windows phones, finally have the party ability. And I think we knew this was coming for a while. I know they said they were working on it. But as of today, it is now available via your Xbox app on your smartphone. Except for Windows. RIP.
Microsoft.
No Mixer. No fancy Xbox features. Sorry. Anyways.
And the funny thing is the way it started out, the only way you could get the Xbox app is if you had a Windows phone.
Really? I didn't know that.
At very first, yeah. It didn't take them long before they rolled it out to iOS and Android, but
once they realized that they only held like a single digit percent of the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Into some of the weeds of technical stuff that they're actually working on. Greg Herman and Andrew Schnickel are the two technical directors for the legacy team at 343. So they're the ones that are spearheading any of the MCC updates that are coming down the pipeline for outdated systems, services, and technologies. First one being, there's been a lot of API changes to specifically matchmaking that they're looking to improve upon. So all those times where you're sitting and waiting in lobbies for that one additional person to join, or parties getting completely disconnected after the end of the game. Yeah, those are things that they can actually fix with the new APIs that have been developed for the Xbox One platform. The biggest thing is with the netcode and the matchmaking party system. So for the old XDKs and APIs that they had, the system was actually in charge of determining players that were pulled into a party for matchmaking. And then those notifications and interfaces were supposed to pass that information along to the game. Unfortunately, that didn't work all the time. So those kinds of notifications wouldn't actually get passed over to the game engine. So the party never got fully set up. So the stories of people waiting for 15 minutes before another thing came in, yeah, that can be fixed now through some of the APIs. Parties completely disconnecting after a match will be less often now too, because something that was done originally with the XDKs that were available is each game engine was actually loaded into memory and CPU processor were pulled in, and then the whole game was dumped out. So you were basically, once you started a game, you're basically shutting down the main UI engine completely and starting up a game engine. And then when the game was over, that whole game engine was teared down, and then the UI engine was restarted. You can imagine the headache of trying to pass all the information back and forth between the executables, and probably the headaches of it not actually being able to handle that. Yes, you lose.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. They're able to now make it to where the games are DLLs, so dynamic link libraries for any of you programmers out there. So it's just a library that they load when the game comes in. So you still have the UI engine that's running, but it's the main processes are focused on the actual running the DLL code. And then that DLL is unloaded, so you really don't lose the other engine, so that party management will actually stay intact.
That will be a big plus. That was one of the big drawbacks to the matchmaking is, you know, whenever you'd go back to a lobby, you'd have to regather your lobby.
So that won't be an issue. Well, it shouldn't be an issue anymore with the APIs that are there, especially with the ones where party management is now done by the games instead of the system. And the fact that the games are being dynamically linked in and unlinked will make it to where the UI game engine is still able to track all that party management and the network parties to where that it's not going to be lost after a game ends. So that's another benefit as well. All because of new APIs.
Yay!
Some of the other stuff that they're looking to do with the XDK upgrades, like I mentioned before, is increased resolution usage and visual enhancements, which probably, I'm not going to say this for sure, but it may lean in the direction of 4K assets for maybe some of the games, maybe like for Halo 2 Anniversary or stuff like that.
Yeah, I could see Halo 2 Anniversary, Halo 4, and possibly Reach. But, you know, when they developed Halo 4, it was pretty much graphically at the limit of the engine.
Well, Halo 3, for Halo 3, they have the 4K package for Xbox One X.
Right. I meant as far as in the Master Chief Collection. Also, Halo 3 wasn't pushing the game engine as hard as Halo 4 was.
That is true.
Hence the 10-second disappear for all your weapons.
I was gonna mention that. It would have been nice if they could have removed that restriction on the MCC version. I don't know if there's coding restrictions because of memory allocation or what, but if there's any way for them to modify the game code for Halo 4, at least in the Master Chief Collection, to where it's not doing garbage collection every 10 seconds, that'd be nice.
Of course, they haven't done it in Halo 5, so what's the chances they're going to do it in Halo 4? Pretty slim.
Halo 5 is so fast-paced, and even with the movement abilities, I don't feel it affects me as much. The one thing in Halo 5 I do really... that really irks me is a walkover weapon, and then it's like, oh wait, I want to go get that weapon because I'm like running or something, and then you want to go back of it. But by the time I get back there, it's already disappeared.
Well, tonight I was playing a game of Warzone Assault. I was standing on a gravity hammer, and I wanted to pick it up. By the time I saw it and moved my thumb to the X button, it was gone. I hadn't moved.
That's weird.
It literally disappeared while I was standing on it.
And you had the prompt?
Yes.
I didn't think it was supposed to disappear if you had the prompt.
It did.
That's weird.
You know, for regular gameplay, it's not so much of a problem. You know, in regular matchmaking and stuff like that. But in Warzone, because it happens to everybody. You just pulled in that level 6 wreck and you die on spawn. Because your buddy had a ghost was charging the spawn point.
It's always one of those things where you get a weapon and you like die right after you get the weapon or something. And it's like, okay, right off spawn, I'm going to run and go get the weapon. And then if you like dies and you have to respawn again, it's like, well, I know that weapon's going to be gone by the time I go try to go get it again.
Well, your chances of actually getting to it before it despawns, even on the first respawn, is slim.
Depending on where it is, yeah.
Another game tonight, I spawned in and I got a carbine. And of course, somebody shot me through a wall. Literally. You couldn't even see the base where the people were standing and I died. I got shot through a wall. And so I spawned back in. I sprint back over there and it's gone. And I wasn't that far away from it. Because I wasn't that far away from the spawn when I died.
Yeah, because it's 30 seconds for Halo 5 in Warzone, right? I think.
No.
Is it shorter?
Yeah, try about 12 seconds. 12 or 15. Because from my 10-second respawn timer to the time I got back to it was about probably right at about 15 seconds. And it was gone.
Okay. Yeah, that's really quick. I guess the bright side of it is, at least in custom games, I believe you can control the garbage cleanup. I think you can control if weapons despawn or how often they despawn. I think. Pretty sure you can.
I'd say 45 seconds would be plenty short enough.
I would give them 30. But yeah, 45 would be nice. At least for Warzone. Yeah, I don't know.
And of course, you know, I miss the days of the campaign where you'd go through 3 other checkpoints, come back and get a weapon.
Yep.
That don't happen no more.
No. No, it doesn't.
You load the next zone and you go back and everything's gone.
That's interesting. I've never thought about that before, but yeah, all that stuff has changed as far as how they do the cleanup. And it used to be just everything was left there. You're right.
It used to be you could almost play the entire level of the game and go back and pick something up if you left it.
If you really wanted to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not think about that. But you're right. You're totally right. Back to the update. There's a couple of things that they're working with trying to use enhancements and advancements in the social manager. Some of which is potential custom game browsing. Xbox Arena, which I'm not entirely sure what that is. And they're also looking at Mixer support.
That would be cool.
Not sure what they're planning to do with Mixer support. It would be interesting if something like Halo 4, and we may have talked about something like this before, way back in the Halo 4 days, but being able to do those ordnance drops, maybe vote on what drops in the next ordnance drop through mixer buttons.
Possibly.
That's just a Halo 4 idea that I'm thinking of. I'm sure there's some other ideas they probably have rolling around in their ideas, but that's the one thing that comes to mind that I think I want to say we talked about it at some point during Halo 4. Can't remember.
No, we didn't talk about it during Halo 4. We talked about it a few months ago. Actually, I think we talked about it right after they announced that they were going to be doing the update.
Okay.
You know, kind of the wish list thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're probably right. There's been so many things going on, I'm forgetting. You're probably right, though. It'd be interesting to see what else they could possibly do. I'm sure there's other things, but the fact that they're looking into that kind of stuff is exciting, especially custom game browsers.
It'd be nice if it came to PC.
Wink, wink.
Be a lot of things that'd be nice if they came to PC.
Last thing from the technical perspective is looking at a huge overhaul of the underlying network code, because that's obviously changed a lot since the original Xbox came out. A big issue that many people probably remember is the strict and moderate NATs.
Darn NATs!
Oh. Does anyone remember that? I'm pretty sure everyone in here right now, we have Bobby Laird, Pens, and G. Lewis.
Oh yeah, I remember it, that's for sure.
I'm sure Haas remembers it too, if he was here.
BioWolf.
Oh gosh, BioWolf. Whew, BioNet. A lot of these NAT issues, especially strict NAT and moderate NAT, I think people end up coming with a table of like, okay, if you have moderate NAT, you're able to play with another moderate NAT or open NAT. If you have open NAT, you're able to play with anyone. But if you had a strict NAT, then you could only play with an open NATed other people that had open NAT. So if you had a mix of party, like you had maybe 3 people with an open NAT, 5 people with a moderate NAT, and 4 people with a strict NAT, the party would never come together successfully because those strict NATs couldn't talk to the moderate NAT people. Needless to say, a lot of things have changed with the Xbox infrastructure to relay around the NAT issues. With a lot of different technology, NAT settings should no longer be an issue. No more worrying about strict, moderate, or open NATs. With the improvements that they've made to the net code, it should be a lot less can't join progress or can't join people. They're not saying it's going to eliminate it completely, but there should be significantly fewer instances of that happening.
Definitely will be nice.
Lastly, they mentioned is they had Pure Hosting used as a backup for Matchmade games. I didn't even know they did that. But they're looking at having more dedicated servers to guarantee Matchmade games will be all on dedicated servers.
Which that'll definitely help with the matchmaking portion.
Well, so I knew the custom games used local servers, but I thought all the matchmaking games were supposed to be all dedicated servers. I thought, maybe not. I thought it was, though.
Yeah, the backup plan was getting used a lot more than it should have been.
I have a feeling some of the network issues may have been part of that, especially NAT, which probably compounded the issue even more because it was probably a lot worse. So you have that first failure of, oh, I can't connect to dedicated servers. Well, that's kind of what you use to help avoid the NAT problem. So, because you would assume the servers are going to be open NAT because they're probably, and it's Microsoft, so they're probably using BGP for those who know what BGP is. And those are probably going to their internet access points, and those are coming straight down. So that strict NAT player should be able to connect to an open NAT server just fine. If the dedicated servers were failing, yeah, that's probably why there are so many people running into the issue of I can't do matchmaking because I have a strict NAT.
We'll be interested to see what the early builds or early release builds look like.
Well, and it's good to see that a lot of the things that have been prominent issues with MCC are the ones that they have acknowledged, and the ones that are solvable just by using updated XDKs and APIs.
Yeah, it's nice to see they don't have to basically rewrite the entire game.
Right. They do have to do some massive underlying work for all 8 game engines in MCC. And yes, there are 8 game engines.
I didn't say it was going to be easy job. They don't have to basically tear everything apart and then put it back together and hope they remembered where the pieces went.
I'm hoping they have good notes and documentation for when they ripped out the original netcode of these games and plugged in the stock Xbox One day one net code in. So hopefully it's just another unplug and put in the new shiny plug.
Hopefully.
Here's to hoping. But yeah, all eight game engines. That's Halo 1 Classic, Halo 1 Anniversary, Halo 2 Classic, Halo 2 Anniversary, Halo 3, Halo 3 ODST, Halo 4, and Halo 2 Anniversary Multiplayer.
There's a lot of stuff going on in that game.
There is a lot.
I just think the original plan was to add Halo 5 to it.
I mean, the unified UI was an interesting idea.
Oh, I love the concept of it. I would have loved it more if they would have been complete ports of the games.
You know, it'd be interesting. And I know this, well, very, 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 very much unlikely not, or, well, be unlikely to happen. But if all the games are DLLs, being able to do custom browser through Halo 5 and be like, oh, I see someone, a friend playing Halo 3. I want to hop on over there. And basically launch that game engine through MCC to that DLL and then just back out to Halo. I mean, I guess that's kind of what they were wanting to do with getting Halo 5 into the unified UI with MCC. And that way, well, it's, I mean, like,
honestly, the party invite system, you know, it's capable of switching games for you. You know, if somebody invites you to play a game, you can click on the invite and say, yeah, I want to play. And it will shut down the current game you're playing and bring up the correct game.
Well, and that's one of the social manager features that they're looking to implement. So, yeah, that party management, the inviting and managing of people in the party is going to be overhauled tremendously with a lot of the social features that they've implemented. Is that a thank you, Confowl, or something else? All you'd be doing if you were accessing Halo 5 through MCC, you'd basically be replacing the menu options to navigate to campaign, multiplayer. The only things you probably wouldn't be able to do, at least under the current MCC UI, would be managing your recs. But everything else you could do.
But yeah, after the newness wore off of the MCC, that I'm kind of glad Halo 5 is a standalone game.
Maybe we'll see people try to pick up MCC. I'm still trying to go through and get achievements. I know the mythics are going to be really, or the lasos are going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah, I'm already starting to work on my achievement runs on those.
Are you doing them single player or co-op?
I will probably be doing them single player. There are a couple of achievements. There's at least one achievement in Halo 2 that is co-op required, but I can get around that.
I mean, for Lazo.
Sorry. So for Lazo? Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to even attempt that.
I'm thinking for me, I'm probably going to do co-op just for the fact that with Iron Skull on, if you die in single player, you restart the whole mission, where if you die in co-op, you go to the last checkpoint. Now, granted, there is a way to get around that. When you run a single player, you can hit start and go to the last checkpoint.
Yeah, if you're quick enough.
If you're quick enough, and you remember to do it every time.
You have to do it before the game registers that you died.
Yeah, so it has to be like maybe within like the first second or so. I don't know.
Yeah, I that's how I got through a lot of Reach ones.
Basically, if the audio is still at full volume, you're probably okay to hit the start button and go to the last checkpoint. Yeah, that's 45 missions.
if you see your body start to go into the death animation, you hit the start button and revert to checkpoint. That's one of those deals that if I do it, I'll probably be looking at speedrunning techniques.
Oh, yes.
To try almost to skip as much of it as possible.
You almost have to. So that's the MCC update that we have so far. I will say I am really, really pleased with the things that they're trying to do and trying to fix with MCC. I think it's going to make a lot of people happy and hopefully bring a lot of people back into the fold of some of the legacy stuff.
Hopefully.
One can hope. One can dream. It's going to be something that they'll provide updates on a regular basis, whether that regular basis is every 2 weeks or a month. I'm going to guess it's going to be probably at least every month until they get closer to doing some public testing with it. But make sure, if you want to be part of the testing, that you're in the Xbox Insiders program and you're a part of the Halo Community Feedback program. You got to be inside those two in order to be considered for some of the early playtesting of the builds. They're going to be widening it to more and more people as testing goes on, but outside of their just internal testing and probably take-home builds, the first people likely to get the builds are people that are part of the Halo Community Feedback Program, and I'm going to say likely the Xbox Insiders Alpha Ring would probably be that first go-to. And then you probably have some other community influencers that'll probably get it as well. But if you're heavily anticipating wanting to get your hands on some future MCC builds, then those are the two things that you'll want to get registered in or a part of.
And if you want to be included in some of the earliest updates, I would recommend you get involved in both of those now and be vocal and be constructive with what you have to say to the developers.
Well, unfortunately, the Halo Community Feedback stuff, I know they had a survey last week before, something like that. Their surveys don't come out. Well, they come out usually every 2 to 3 months, I think. So there might not be another one for a little while. But at least sign up to partake in it, at the very least. So I will say that. I want to give another quick shout out to Primordial Woman 7. He actually messaged us a set of Valentine's Day images. He's been featured on the community spotlight, and we followed him on Twitter. He followed us back, and he sent over some screenshots, so I just kind of wanted to give a little shout out to him, since the set of screenshots that he sent to us were actually pretty cool. For those that are in the chat right now, I'll go ahead and link to his Twitter post. He's one of the ones that does the Halo hot shots. He pretty much does them every week. If you see the community updates, you have probably seen his work many a times already. Definitely check out his stuff, Primordial117 on Twitter and on Reddit. Lots of really cool things. And he actually has a few more since he did this initial collection of images. And that's all we have for tonight. No community update, so hopefully next week will be another one. If not, we're going to have plenty to talk about, probably for the Orlando Open. I still need to reach out to Taz and see if he wants to do a little bit, but maybe we can just have him on the show next week and discuss the very first event of the Halo World Championship for 2018. Sorry again for the switcheroo in the schedule this week. So for those that were probably expecting us on Thursday and come over to see that we're not there on Thursday, just had a little scheduling snafu for this week, but we should be back on our regular Thursday schedules starting up again next week. GT, is there still plans for the game night on Friday?
Cool. Still going to be there, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. You'll be able to catch us on right here on Mixer, on Twitch, and on YouTube. So if you want to join in, just feel free to shoot me a message on Xbox Live at Godzilla T, and we'll get you in to play some fun Halo. And if you want to just tune in and watch, you can catch us at any one of those three places.
Very good. Was there another Achieving Halo episode?
There was one scheduled, but it kind of got canceled, so.
Ah, okay.
Unfortunately, we're having schedule issues right at the moment, so.
Gotcha.
I hope to be able to get this finished up here shortly, but things have all of a sudden kind of got crazy in my life again. So I will definitely keep the club posted on that. Keep an eye out for a looking for group. That will probably be the best place to find out when the next one is. Or, you know, you can message me on Twitter or on Xbox Live to put your hat in the ring for the next recording. This next one's probably going to be a little later. We're probably going to do it around 8 Eastern time. I've got one person that's interested, but he's not available until later. So
check out the Spartan Company and the Xbox Club. The Xbox Club specifically, because that's where GT posts the looking for group when it comes to doing the Achieving Halo series. You can head on over to podtaggler.com/Xbox, and that'll take you to the club, and then /company, and that'll take you to the Spartan Company. We still have a few slots open, and we're still trying to go for the Achilles helmet. Still have three level fours. Forget to pay the toll. We have 13 more before we get to level 5 for that one. And then the one that's all the way in the back, which is Killing Marines, we still have another 2,655 to go. So thanks, Laird and Confal, for contributing that this past weekend. Really appreciate it. Still got a little ways to go from there. Closest one that we have to finishing is from the top rope, which is kill an enemy Spartan with a ground pound. We need another 229 to go. So that's our Spartan Company update for you. Make sure you check us out on all our social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Mixer, Twitch, YouTube, all those fun places. If we have it, just search for Podtacular and you will find us. Also, make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows such as Critzcast, Guardian Radio, Work in Progress, How to Murder Time, The Learning Cliff, and Podcast 76. I know I did that way out of order than I normally do, but anyways, you can find out more about those podcasts over at thepodcast.com. Other than that, everyone have a fantastic week. Hope to see some of you guys on Friday, and we'll see everyone back here hopefully next Thursday. Keep on fragging laggy MCC natting network issues, because we're going to get new ones.